Hello, beautiful youth. Welcome to Yellow On Air this beautiful Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. And yes, if you get to miss the Sundays, remember we repeat this program on Mondays at 10 p.m. on Gospel for Grampian Radio. And if you can't make the broadcast that goes out on a Sunday at 10 a.m. and Monday at 10 p.m., then I encourage you to please download the Gospel for Grampian Podbean application so that you can subscribe to all the episodes that I've made available on the Podbean. Yellow On Air is a program that is produced by Women of Africa Care Company in South Africa and is sponsored by Rob and Helen Rowe, who are the founders of Gospel for Grampian Radio in the United Kingdom. We produce these programs on a weekly basis to inspire and empower youth between the ages of 15 and 35. So youth, wherever you are in the world, please note that you get to get some inspiration specifically addressing your age group to help you navigate your life as a young adult. And today and going forward on our radio program, we get the opportunity of having some wonderful, beautiful music background produced by Aku, who's the musical student, and he produced this beautiful music that you are listening in the background as the signature for Gospel for Grampian. So you will get to have a good ambience as you listen to your weekly inspiration. So dear Aku, well done on your wonderful musical production, and we are excited to use your musical as a background for our weekly inspiration. So today, youth, we are on episode 26, and we are going to be talking about navigating young adult life as a Christian. Yes, it is navigating. It's like you got to steer your life. You have to strategically choose to steer your life. You know, it's like when you ride a car or when you ride a motorbike, you need to have a license in order to drive successfully. And there are rules that you need to obey as you navigate the car or the motorbike so that you don't have an accident. Well, that is the same story as a young adult, as a Christian. The Bible says that the enemy has come to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. That is in John 10:10. But God has come to give us life and life abundantly. So we must know that if we don't navigate our young adult life as a Christian according to the principles that God has given us, then we're going to have a lot of accidents along the way of life, because the devil is strategically coming after the saints too. Cause us to have accidents through robbing us, killing us, and destroying us. So we need to know how to navigate life as a Christian. I love what Peter writes in the book of 1 Peter 2:9. He says that he's writing to the believers in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And he says to the Christians, but you are a chosen generation. Now, I'm talking to you, youth, just like Peter is talking to all of these born-again Christians out there. Wherever you are in the world, dear youth, I want to remind you what Peter is telling the born-again Christians. Youth, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. That means the royal blood of Jesus is in your bloodline. That means you wear a crown of glory. That means you wear a robe of righteousness. You are a holy nation, God's very own special people. And God wants you to proclaim the praises of God who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, you were once a youth that God did not show mercy on you. Why? You could not obtain mercy when you were not born again. But now God has given you mercy through the born again experience. So I want you to understand that you are part of an eternal royal family. And that means that there is a protocol that you need to adhere to in order to navigate your life as a chosen generation, as a royal priesthood, and as a holy nation. Because God has called you to be the light. He's called you to be the salt. Everybody's looking at you, just like the royal family in the United Kingdom, in the British Empire. Everybody looks at the royal family, and they look at them as a prominent, well-favored, prominent, good-statured family. And so if they make a mistake, it becomes a big thing in the world. Because why? There's an expectation and a standard how they need to live out. There's a royal protocol that they need to maintain in order for them to have that kind of honor as a royal family. And so you, my dear youth, when you became born again, God has chosen you and set you apart as an eternal royal family. And so to maintain that status and to be that marvelous light, there's a protocol for you. And I want to teach you today how to live in that marvelous light. Because here's a king, King Solomon. He writes Ecclesiastes 11:9. He tells you youth as a royal youth how to behave. This is not coming from just an ordinary person. The book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes was written by a king who they call is a teacher, who knew many things, who knew a lot of things. There were kings from all over the world and queens from all over the world that came to visit King Solomon to not just see his wealth and his marvelous prosperity and success, but to hear the wisdom that came out of him. And this king is writing to us Christians and writing to you youth, a king, an eternal royal king appointed by God is telling you today, youth, that young people, you must enjoy your youth. Be happy while you are still young. Do what you want to do and follow your heart's desire. But remember that God is going to judge you for whatever you do. Are you listening, dear youth? This king of an eternal kingdom is telling you, dear youth, that you can do what you want and you must enjoy your life. But just remember, in all the fun and in all you're doing, it must bring glory to God, because you are going to be judged for whatever you do. So it is important, youth, that you build wisely in your youth, because as you age, whatever you do in your youth has a consequence for your future. The Bible says that the prudent see the danger ahead and act now. If we don't let God direct us, we misleading ourselves into the way of death. King Solomon, who wrote Proverbs 14:12, tells us that there is a part before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Not even two chapters later, he repeats it. He emphasizes it. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems, that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. So I open this talk today, this teaching today to you youth, to make you known that as you transition from adolescence into young adult life, know that this is a period where you're looking to be self-sufficient, where you're looking to be independent, where you're looking to be autonomous, where you're now weaning away from parental leading and guidance, and you want to now be able to fend for yourself. And here Solomon is saying to you that there's a way that seems right but leads to death. And he's reminding you in Ecclesiastes that whatever you're going to do, God's going to judge. So the standard here is, if you know what God's going to judge you against, then you need to allow God's standards to be the standards that you obey. So that when you are having fun and when you are doing whatever you want to do, you know already that you have a standard that is God's standard, so you are safe. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. But if you know that your standards are according to the ways of God, then you can have fun and sleep peacefully at night, because you know that when the enemy goes to judge you and accuse you in front of God, that you have right standing with God because you are following the royal protocol, right? Remember, we spoke about it in previous episodes. If you haven't listened, I encourage you to go listen. In Revelations, the word of God says that the accuser accuses the brethren day and night, but we overcome the accusations and the oppression of the devil through the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. So the word of God becomes the standard that we live by. That is our testimony, that we live according to the word of God. Therefore, whenever the enemy tries to come and find a entry point into our lives, we don't have any hedge that's open for him to come and rob, steal, kill, and destroy, because we're living according to royal protocol, right? There's no opportunity for for a bad report, for a bad tabloid, you know, a report. Why? Because everything we're doing is according to royal protocol. That is why King Solomon says that in Ecclesiastes 1, that everything under the sun has a season. He says that there's a season for everything under a sun, a time to be born and a time to be and a time to die. And in those seasons of our lives, we have to remember in all things that we need to fear the Lord and obey His commandments. That is what Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 12, that the end of a matter, the conclusion of our life on the earth, is that the whole duty of a human life is to fear the Lord and obey His commandments. So how do we transition into that protocol system in our young adult, from adolescent to young adult? Because what happens when we grow up? As an infant, how do we live? We are learning now from our parents how to speak, how to build sentences, how to understand that it is wrong to manipulate. It is wrong as a little child to lie and to take things that doesn't belong to us, right? A lot of times children get away with lying and get away as a little child from taking things that doesn't belong to us because our parents tell us, oh, but they are just children. If you got the very strict parents, they'll say, no, you cannot lie. I'm not giving you a sweetie because you lied. Or I'm not going to buy you a toy because you took your brother's toy and you lied that you didn't take it. And so in your infancy life, you can get away with mischievousness. Why? Because you're still in infancy. But then when you get to adolescent life, this is a time where you're not just now you're not just now learning to increase your brain capacity, you are also now transitioning between a infant body into a young adult body, where your body is metamorphosizing. You're having growing pains in your body, where body parts are forming, where there's experiences of hormones, etc. There's emotional development, there's the awareness of what's happening in your body. You're now becoming more conscious of the way you look. You're now becoming more conscious of the opposite sex and attractions, etc. So it's a whole new different level in your adolescent versus your infancy. And in your adolescent slave life, as you're trying to go through those growing pains, you now shy away from sharing with your parents what you're feeling and what you're going through. And in those years, when you choose to neglect adult influence, you are going to go the wrong way. So that is why it's important for you to have the right role models and the right adult influence, so that in your adolescent life, you begin to build wisely. The Lord doesn't say that if you are an adolescent and you do wrong, you're not going to be judged. The age of understanding is where we now begin to get judged, because we are at the age of understanding where we know between right and wrong, good and evil. And it is really at that age where we now begin to get judged. So it's important for you to know, don't think that because you're between the ages of 10 and 19, which is your adolescent life, that your life in God's eyes is judged by how good your parents are, because your parents are good and your parents are faithful to the Lord. That means that you're going to be judged in the sight of God. Well, that's not what the Word of God says, and that certainly isn't what our wonderful King Solomon is saying. He's saying here, he's talking to the youth in Ecclesiastes 11, 9 and 10, and he's saying, young people, enjoy your youth, be happy while you are still young, do whatever you want to do and follow your heart's desire. But remember, God is going to judge you in whatever you do. So I want to remind you today, dear youth, don't allow the devil to lie to you that because you have godly parents, or that you know, their godliness is going to cover you in your ungodly behavior. Every person who's at the age of understanding will be judged for their own conduct. I want to just quickly talk about your adolescent age. According to an Encyclopedia Britannica article, it says here that an adolescent's age is between 10 and 19 years old. And this is really a time where you're now going through the experiences of transitioning into independence to self-sufficiency. When you were a child, when you were an infant, you depended on mommy and daddy. Now as an adolescent, you are now beginning to be self-sufficient, right? And I love this article where this wonderful lady that writes in the Encyclopedia Britannica, Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, and she says that during the time of transitioning between an adolescent to a young adult, there's the isolation that takes place between the teenage life from a kindergarten to an adolescent or teenager. And she's highlighting here that if there's a neglect by the parent towards the teenager in that time, then there's challenges in terms of how the teenager behaves because for lack of adult influence. For example, when a child is an infant, there's a lot of attention given by the parent as well as the teachers in school in kindergarten. But when a child goes into adolescence, which is a teenager, then they go into bigger classrooms that have about 12 to 25 students. So the teachers don't give specific attention to each student. And because parents now have this mindset that their children are bigger, there's less attention given to the child in the teenage life. And at home, teenagers spend at least several hours each day without parents or adult supervision. And typically, the children end up watching TV, or they go play games, or they listen to music, or they communicate with their friends on computers, phones, or other devices, or they allow social media to influence them. And this article that Mihaly writes, she says that estrangement from parents have clear effects. Teens who do little and spend little time with their parents are likely to be bored, uninterested, and self-centered. And the lack of positive interaction with adults is particularly problematic in urban settings that had once enjoyed a lively street corner society. In the street corner society, men would traditionally share their experiences with the younger children in a very casual environment. But now that has disappeared. And as a result, teenagers look to their peers in order to be reinforced and to be effective. And because their peers are also going through the metamorphosis of growing pains in their adolescent period, so you have the blind leading the blind, the one that's getting metamorphosized and still trying to find themselves in their process are leading the other ones that are going through metamorphosis. And as a result, you have a defiant behavior coming out of teenagers for lack of experienced, morally intelligent adults as role models. Now, what are the defined behaviors that happen in a young adult in the absence of good role model adults? Well, according to Mihaly, this is what youngsters do. For example, an unwed teen motherhood is sometimes the result of a desire for attention, respect, and control, while most gang fights and instances of juvenile homicide occur when teenagers, both boys and girls, feel that they have been slightly or offended by others. Such defiant attitude can take many forms. Insecurity, rage are often leading to vandalism, juvenile delinquency, and illegal use of drugs and alcohol. Violence and crime, of course, are one of the norms. And so you are seeing here that because they have lack of adult role models, these children are behaving in a negative way. And Mihaly says that research indicates that those adolescents who have the opportunity to develop a relationship with an adult role model, whether it be a parental or a mentor or a coach of good values, they become more successful than their peers who do not have anybody to be an effective role model. So we're seeing here that in your adolescent life, young adult, you need good role models while you are thriving for independence. The Bible says that there is wisdom in the multitude of counsels. And you can't go to counsels to people who don't have life experience and good moral standards. So your peers don't have life experience, so they're not going to tell you to avoid the potholes that they have underwent, because they're still going through the potholes and they don't even know there's potholes there. So you need adults who have got life experiences in order to tell you and warn you about the dangers ahead, because Proverbs says the prudent see the dangers ahead and act now. So who are the ones that are going to teach you about the dangers ahead? The adults. So you need to make sure, dear adolescents, as you transition between your adolescence into your young adult life, that you have good adults speaking into your life. Why am I telling you this? You need to know how to navigate your young adult life, because there is a specific process and season that you are going to go through as a young adult. And I'm going to explain to you the dangers that the enemy presents to you in that young adult, the temptations that come with your wanting to be independent. If you don't have good role model, what's going to happen? Your independence is going to lead to pride, where you're not going to need God because you think you know it all, and then you leave God out of the equation. And like I've said to you now, that the word of God says in Proverbs 16:25 that there's a way that seems right to a person, but it leads to death. So if you don't have good godly people speaking into your life when you are seeking to be independent, you're actually going to leave God out of the equation, and you're going to become a prideful person. It is a time where you are sexually at your peak between the ages of 20 and in your 30s. You are sexually at your peak in terms of your desires. While you might have self-control, if you are tempted and you don't have God in your life, your moral conscientiousness will not kick in and you will end up falling into sexual sins. So it is important for you during your time of going into young adult life, you must know what the temptations of that season presents and how to overcome it. And that is what I'm going to be talking about right now. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So youth, in whatever season you are, do not become weary in being a good person, in ensuring that you apply the word of God. You need to allow the seasons to transform you into the person God has designed you to be. We read in this article that I've just highlighted to you by Mahali that those who have parental guidance are much more successful in coping with the adolescent and young adult pressures versus those who do not have parental guidance. Today, I want to introduce you to your eternal parent, which is God the Father, Abba Father, and Jesus our Lord and Savior, which is your mastery of leadership, and the Holy Spirit, who has been sent from above, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, and has been sent to lead and guide you on the earth into successful living. Whether you're a youth who have parents that are too busy to be around you and coach you, or if you're an orphan by tragedy, or you have parents around but poor role models, no matter your parental void, I want to remind you today that there is an eternal parent that is there to help you, youth, to navigate you into success as a young adult. I want to remind you today that our ancestors were successful in the absence of earthly parental guidance because they enjoyed the eternal parenting that they got from God. I'm going to look at the life of Joseph, the life of David, and the life of Esther to highlight to you how these three successful people, one a prime minister, one a queen, and one a king of a country, how these people became successful and avoided the pitfalls of young adult temptation through trusting their eternal parents. And I'm going to start with Joseph. Joseph left home at the age of 17, sent by his father to go and check if his brothers were okay. When he got to his brothers, they were jealous. Remember, they were a blended family, and they were jealous of Joseph because he was his daddy's favorite. And so they sold him into slavery. So now here's Joseph, sold into slavery, then went into prison, and finally at the age of 30, became prime minister of Egypt. So from 17 years of age to the age of 30, he was under the influence of slavery imprisonment. And during this confinement, there was no natural parental guidance, but there was an eternal parental care. And I'm going to show you where that parental care came from, God. Genesis 39:1 says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands." So Joseph found favor in the sight of his master and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under Joseph's authority. So it was from that time that the master made Joseph overseer over his house and all that he had. The Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that Joseph had done in the house and in the field. Thus, Pharaoh left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. So what the word of God is saying here, that Potiphar gave all control of his well-being and his household and his finances and his inventory under the control of Joseph. That's how much he trusted Joseph. But what was interesting here, dear youth, notice there were no parental guidance, but there was so much eternal spiritual influence, parental care from God himself upon Joseph's life, that even the Egyptian could see the glory of God upon Joseph. When you see the Lord on somebody's life, that is the glory of God. And so you see here that Joseph, from the age of 17 years old, even when he went into imprisonment and he got into kingship or prime ministership in Egypt, that they all saw the glory of God upon him, because he had parental care from an eternal perspective. And that brought him successful. So even in confined areas, he was not deprived. He was not prejudiced. While he might have been confined and got the label of a slavery and a label of a prisoner, it didn't stop him from being successful and making the people around him successful, which then later on brought him into promotion. So godly influence has such an important part in your life, dear youth, because whatever you're going to do in the future, the consequences of your decisions in your young adult life has such an impact in your mature age as an adult. And if you choose to leave God out of the equation, then you're going to have to try on your own strength to promote yourself. And the word of God says that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but David trusted in the living God. So we know that people will fail us. People will fail us. Look what happened in Potiphar's house. His wife lied about Joseph. So he was failed. His master believed the wife over him, and he was thrown into prison. But because the favor of the Lord was upon him and God judged him right, he got promoted. So you must understand that you're going to have to allow the Lord to be your parent in your life, whether you are in the prison or whether you are in the palace. I'm going to go on further about Esther being in the palace and still choosing for the Lord to be her life. Let's look at David quickly. David was a youth when he fought Goliath. And he was a young adult around 20 when he was appointed army captain. And you'll see, I'm going to talk about David's life a little bit more in detail later on. But everything that David did in his success from a youth up until his old age had to do with submitting to God and allowing God to help and lead him. There were times where he made mistakes, but his quick repentance, because he knew the God of his youth throughout his life, that even as an adult, mature adult, when he made mistakes, he quickly repented because he had a heart after God. And that heart after God was not established when he was an old adult. No, it was established in his youth. And what about Queen Esther? She was a young girl, a teenager, when she was recruited for beauty treatment to be selected for queenship. And a year following her treatment, she was handpicked as queen. And over her time in a queenship, she gets news that Haman, who was part of the Agagite history that hated the Christians or the Jewish nation, had now come to take revenge over the Jewish people in Persia. So Haman issued a decree to kill all the Jews, which meant now Esther, even though she was a queen in Persia, married to an ungodly husband, she would die if Haman got his way to kill all the Jews. And as a young adult, she was probably in her 20s, when the news came to her by her uncle that Haman had issued the decree, and if she doesn't stand up and fight for her people, then she herself's going to be killed. So what happened when her uncle told her that? She rose to the rescue. She didn't have in the palace any Christian influence, but because she knew the God of her childhood, she had no physical parental guidance, but she had God. What did she do? She said, this is what she said in Esther 4:14. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you completely remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther, dear youth, she replies to Uncle Mordecai. She tells Uncle Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Now notice here, dear youth, she knew to fast because she knew who her God was. She didn't say, I don't know what to do, or I'll just negligently go before the king. No, she knew, "I'm going to my eternal father. And if he's allowing me to be in this role as a queen to save the Jewish nation, then I'm going to put on my, not just my earthly royal robe, but I'm going to put on my eternal royal robe as a daughter of the king, as a daughter of an eternal kingdom. And with that mindset and that attitude, I am going to go to my husband, who's the earthly king." So they fasted, they prayed, and she went on forward. Notice what she did. She didn't go and figure it out in the world's way, because she knew that if she had to go to the king without him calling her forward, she could be killed, because the protocol was the king has to call you in order for you to go into his presence, even if you are his wife. And so she was not called. And so if she went there unannounced, she could be killed. But she put on her eternal royal robe, knowing that her eternal father is going to save her and give her the political voice and boldness to defend the Jewish nation. She put on her cap, her royalty, as an eternal royal daughter, knowing Abba Father is her father. And so I want you to understand, dear youth today, that to navigate your young adult life, you need God, because God chose these youngsters and they succeeded because they put their trust and hope in an eternal God. They didn't put their hope and senses and trust in natural circumstances. Notice, Joseph did not look at his circumstances when he went into Potiphar's house and said, "I'm a slave boy, I'm not worth anything." No, he knew who his father was. Therefore, when he could go into that house of Potiphar, he could immediately step into a leadership position because he knew God was with him. And even Potiphar saw that. Similarly with our beautiful Esther, she went in there knowing she's a daughter of the Most High. Yes, her uncle reminded her of her identity, but her uncle didn't tell her to pray and fast. She was the one who said, "Let's do a royal fast to stand in the gap for me as I go and present myself to the king." She knew that she had to put on that spiritual, eternal, royal identity and robe on in order for her to face an earthly king. Okay? So you need to adorn yourself with your eternal royal robe in order to face the challenges that this earthly environment presents to you, because the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeing who he may devour. And if you don't put on your eternal royal robe as a child of God and allow Abba Father and the leadership of our Master Jesus Christ to lead and guide you through the Holy Spirit, then you are going to fail in the places that you are called to influence. Notice that all of these three iconic leaders, both David, both Esther and Joseph, were influenced through their Christian heritage. They were all youth with little earthly parental influence in their seasons of slavery, confinements, prejudice, yet they all acted on their eternal parental guidance to influence the history of our heritage as a nation of God on the earth. Their acts positively impacted lives and the economic state in those continents. Think about it. Esther politically impacted 127 countries under King Xerxes, because King Xerxes ruled over 127 countries. And Esther's act of obedience and boldness got to influence and protect youths, Jews that were scattered throughout the 127 continents, countries that King Xerxes looked after in the Persian Empire. David influenced Israel and Judah, two different countries, before it became one. Joseph influenced Egypt, what a powerful empire in that time. And his own people were brought to occupy the land of Goshen. And in return of Joseph's influence, not only was Egypt not experiencing the famine because they had more than enough to protect them during the famine period, the nation of God, Joseph's family, even though they sold him into slavery, he forgave them, and Joseph's family entered into Goshen as 70. But when they left Egypt, they left a powerful nation and a multiplied nation. In the time before they left Egypt, the Pharaoh, the new Pharaoh, was so intimidated because he says that the people of Israel had outnumbered the population of Egypt during that time. And the Pharaoh was afraid that the Israelites, with their power and their influence and their population growth, they might take over Egypt. And so Pharaoh got scared and he began to downscale the Israelites, saying we must kill every male that is going to be born and we must lead them into slavery work in order to punish them and confine them so that they do not take over Egypt. And that's how intimidated the Egyptians were by such a strong nation. So Joseph played a part in growing the nation of Israel from a nation of 70 to almost a million. There were about 600,000, I think, before they went on Exodus, and they were powerful, right? So I want you to understand, dear youth, that it took this young man, Joseph, that was just 17 at that time, and through the leading of God, he was able to leave a good legacy for the Israel nation to become strong. And why am I saying this to you, youth, today? As you embrace your young adult life, there are exposures that you're going to be faced with. And if you don't allow the Lord God to guide you, then you are going to fall into temptations. I love this article by Mariko Kwa. It is an educational article on a website, and it talks about the early adulthood development, ages between 20 and late 30s. It's a report by Havigerst in 1972, and he describes the developmental tasks of young adults during the ages of 20 and the late 30s. And it says that when you are in this age as a young adult, then you begin to focus on achieving independence. You want to establish your identity more firmly in terms of what you like, what you prefer, your philosophies. You develop emotional stability, becoming more stable emotionally, which is considered a sign of maturity. You develop a career path, deciding on and pursuing a career, or at least an initial career directing you and in pursuits also of education. You then think about forming close long-term relationships with the opposite sex. You become part of a group or a community of young adults for the first time. You become involved with various groups. And this could be involved in voting or volunteering to be part of a civic society. You then establish a residence and learning how to manage a household on your own. So you manage your budget, you're now working, you want to buy your own home. And then suddenly you decide, I want to become a parent, rear children, and you now want to get married. And he says that in this time you go through physical experiences. And he says that this period of your life is healthy, but it's risky. He says early adulthood tends to be a time of relatively good health. For instance, in the United States, ages 18 to 44, they have a low percentile of physical office issues, other than your older age groups, where the older age groups have got ailments and, you know, chronic conditions, etc. He says, but the dangers of that group is that you now become tempted for substance abuse. He says that the rate of violent death are influenced by substance abuse, which peaks during early adulthood. Some young adults use drugs and alcohol as a way of coping with stress from family, personal relationships, concerns. Others use alcohol as ways of socializing. And in the early 20s, there's a still good pressure to conform. So if you are immature, you might end up becoming an alcoholic at a very early age. He says that youth transition into adulthood, some having the highest rates of alcohol and substance abuse. And he says drugs impairment, reduce inhibitions and altering moods all lead to dangerous behavior. Reckless driving, violent altercations, forced sexual encounters are some of the examples that are provoked by alcohol. He says college campuses are notorious for binge drinking. And so here you have it, that it can lead now to STDs, etc. And 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says to us, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, of whom you are from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so you need to glorify God in your body." And it says here in 2 Timothy 20:22, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with all those who are called on the Lord from a pure heart." He says here in this report, this gentleman says that men and women tend to reach their peak of sexual responsiveness at different ages. For men, sexual responsiveness tends to peak in the late teens and early 20s. Sexual arousal can easily occur in response to physical stimulation or fantasizing. So he says unintended pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases are a central issue when you don't have moral intelligence. And so he says here that it is important for you to become aware of your sexual responsiveness during this young adult life. And so that is why you need the Word of God, right? How do you navigate your young adult life? Through letting the Word of God be your standard. That is your royal protocol. David writes in Psalms 119:9, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guiding it according to God's word." Proverbs 23:26 says, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." Proverbs 1:10 says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." If you're not walking with the Lord and his word, young adults, let me tell you, sinners are going to entice you. Matthew 5:28 says, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with a lustful intent has already committed adultery in her heart with her in his heart. Romans 13:13 says, "Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy." Proverbs 5:20-21, "Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a foreign woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? No, for a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his parts." The scripture is telling you, King Solomon is telling watching you, dear youth. God is watching you. God is watching you. He see who you're sleeping with and what you are drinking. Joseph fled from sexual sins. Imagine this, Genesis 39. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Yeah, as a young adult, he's being tempted like you youth. And it came to pass that after these things, his master's wife was longing after him, and she said to him, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in that house. He has committed all things to my care. There is no one greater in his house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you." What this Joseph is telling her is that I have authority over everything in this house besides you, because you are his wife, and I cannot do this great wickedness. It's a sin against God. This is what Joseph is saying. And so verse 10 says, "So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, tempting him daily to lie with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the people were in the house, that she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' But Joseph left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside." Are you listening, dear youth? Joseph fled. He resisted the temptation. Why? He knew God was with him. That's what happens when God is with you. When God is with you, you can resist the temptation. The word of God says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you resist the devil? When you allow the word of God to be the standard of your life. Now, I want to talk about cognitive development, mental development. In early adulthood, as young adults, you gain more experience, you think increasingly more in the abstract, and you are able to understand different perspectives and complexities, says this gentleman who wrote this report in 1972. He says, as a person approaches the late 30s, chances are they take decisions out of necessity or because of prior experience and are less influenced by what others think. Now, if you become less influenced about what others think, and if you decide to put God in that category too, where you're not worried what God thinks, and you're sitting in pride, and you are in trouble. Let's look at the young adult cognitive development mindset thinking. When you are between the ages of 17 and 22, you are transitioning in early adult. You leave home, you leave family, you make first choices about career and education. Then you enter the adult world between 22 and 28. You commit to an occupation, you define your goals, you find intimate relationships, according to this report. Then by the age of 30, which is 28 to 33, you are reevaluating your choices, perhaps making modifications or changing your attitude towards love and work. And he says, now in these areas, you gotta be careful how you build your life. He says here, because many decisions in early adult life are made before a person has enough experience to really understand the consequences of such decisions. So, dear beautiful youth, if you don't understand the consequences, like Levinson writes in this report, then you do not see the danger ahead and you are going to make many mistakes yourself. I want to remind you what our beautiful Rick Warren said in one of his quotes, that a wise person will learn from others' mistakes rather than make the mistakes themselves. So no matter what age you are during your transitioning and your process of growing from adolescence into young adult to adult life, you always need somebody that has life experiences and moral intelligence to be part of your accountability group to guide you, so that you don't get sexually or tempted in any way, whether it be addictions, whether it be pride, whether it be greed, or whether it be lustful temptations. We see in the book of David's life that when he was younger, Goliath came to tempt him. When he got older in his adulthood, Goliath's brothers came to tempt him again. So the devil doesn't stop tempting you. He will come throughout your life to tempt you. So when you have good counselors with good moral background to be your accountable partners, dear youth, you are able to navigate life more importantly and more intelligently. But above all the good counselors, God has to be the center and the key counselor, because the word of God says the Holy Spirit is the Paracletos. He is the counselor, he is the intercessor, he's the one that guides you into effective leadership, because Jesus Christ is our Lord and Master Leader, and He wants us to be kings and lords on this earth, putting on our royal robe, our royal crown, our royal robe of righteousness, and our crown of glory, and lead with effectiveness. And to be able to do that, we need to make sure that God is the center of everything we did. Like I said to you, that these three people, David, Esther, and Joseph, were void of parental influence during their times of success. But the great thing was they had an eternal parent guiding them, and they succeeded. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways." Matthew 26:41 says, "When watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Yet Jesus was 33 years old, and He's telling His disciples, "Watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." I want you, dear youth, to understand that you must be brave. You must be brave, just like Esther and David and Joseph, because if God put you in the palace, or He put you in the economy, or He put you in the community to be a leader, then you know you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Jeremiah 1:4-9 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you, Jeremiah, in the womb of your mother I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Then said I, God, but I can barely speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to Jeremiah, Do not say you're a youth, for you shall go to all of them I send to you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you, and I will deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand, touched Jeremiah's mouth, and the Lord said to Jeremiah, Behold, I put my words in your mouth." Are you listening, dear youth? Yes, Jeremiah, called to be a prophet to a very strong nation, which is the nation of Israel. And he is a youth, and he thinks he can't speak. And God said, "No, don't look at your youth. I've ordained you as a young adult to go and speak to the nation of Israel, my people. I'm letting you speak to that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, that holy nation. I've ordained you to speak to that powerful nation. You can do it." So notice, God chooses people that think they cannot do it on their own, because He needs you to know that without Him, you cannot do it on your own, because it is His grace and it is His power at work in you that makes you successful. Here we see God anointing David. I want you to remember, dear youth, that God anoints you. Don't allow your age to hinder God working in your life. Look at the account of David. 1 Samuel 17:31-45. "Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul and said to Saul, Then David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." So this is the time when the Goliath came against the nation of Israel, the army of Israel. A few of his brothers were there representing the army. Not Saul or any of Saul's men could have the boldness to fight the Goliath. But here young David, because he knew God as a youth, he was willing to go and fight this Goliath that was big. Because why? He knew who his God was. And when David went towards Goliath, this is what, well, Saul said, "But you're a youth. How can you go there? You know, you won't be able to fight him." And David responded, "But I can do this, because when I am a shepherd looking after my father's sheep, when the lion and the bear came against the flock, I struck it and I delivered the lamb from the mouth of these dangerous animals." And so eventually David says to Saul, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And if you go read further on, you can see that David destroys the Philistine, destroys Goliath. But what was interesting was Goliath saw David coming as a young youth there, and he said, "What am I?" Now Goliath's telling the Israelites, "What am I, a dog, that you come to me with sticks?" Referring to David as a stick. And the Philistines cursed David. And what happened? I want to remind you today, dear youth, that in Christ you will do great exploits and you will succeed. Look at the two types of youth there. Here, David, the youngest of his family, went and he slayed Goliath. His brothers, also young adults, older than him, but young adults, and they were too afraid to face the giant. So you can either be a carnal Christian, not having God in your life and sitting on the peripheral, not doing great exploits for the Lord like David's brothers, or you can be like David and go into the center of battle, doing great exploits for the Lord, facing most difficult challenges and coming out a warrior, coming out a mighty, mighty woman warrior and a male warrior, because God is with you like he was with Joseph, like he was with David, like he was with Esther. I'm reminded of what Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Joshua 1:9 says, Am I not commanded you be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then lastly, I want to tell you, dear youth, with promotion comes responsibility. Therefore, you need to apply godly wisdom, because when you get promotion, be ready for resentment and jealousy. When we look at David, when he succeeded the battlefield of Goliath, then Saul appointed him to be a captain over a group of men in his leadership, you know, in terms of the army. And when David was appointed as captain of Israel's army, he was called to lead. And as he was coming home one day, him and all the army people, here the women and the people start singing that Saul conquered so many thousands and David conquered many thousands. Saul began to get jealous and intimidated by the praises of the people towards David and the strength of David. So he was now trying to kill David. He wants to get rid of David. And what I love about this is that the Bible says in 1 Samuel 18:12 that David behaved wisely in all his ways. Here, 1 Samuel 18:14. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, Saul was afraid of him. And then when you go further into verse 30, it says that then the princess of the Philistines went out to war. And so it was, whenever they went out, David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. So why I'm telling you this, dear youth, today is that as you transition into young adult life, you need to honor God and put God at the forefront of your exploits. Because when you do, he will give you hindsight, he will give you foresight, and he will give you vision. So you will know who's against you, who is for you, who is with you. In that way, you will not be disappointed, and you will be careful when the people that appoint you, who are trying to kill you because they're jealous. They want you on their team to win, but they're also jealous because you are getting all the praise and recognition. So when you have the wisdom of God in you, you will be able to do great exploits and sustain yourself and make sure you are protected. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no one despise you, for you are youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So you need to be an example in order to be effective as a leader. Okay, young adults? Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. This is what David did, dear youth. He trusted the Lord. It's in his youth that God developed him for great exploits. Psalm 71:5, David says, for you, O Lord, are my hope and my trust, O Lord, from my youth. David was such a beautiful example for us, dear youth, that from the time he was a youth, he honored God in everything he did. From the time he was a shepherd boy to the time that he fought Goliath, he gave God all the glory and honor. He became army of a captain, and he gave honor and glory to God. He became king, and he gave honor and glory to God. So you see the success of David from a youth to old age, because he gave honor to God. And when he did make the mistake where he killed Uriah and he committed adultery with Bathsheba, he quickly repented. So I'm saying to you that yes, we might fall sometimes, but there's repentance happens for those who quickly repent. If you know your God, you will have a repentant heart. So as I close out today, and I encourage you, dear youth, as you navigate your young adult life, just remember what I am saying today. There is a period of transition. Don't allow pride and greed and lust of the things of this world to corrupt you in your time of trying to become independent and find your success in life. Make God the center of everything that you are going to do. Navigate your young adult life as a Christian with God as the center. I love you. Be blessed.